I'm Sarah, and I've been working with the miners for a while now. We took some time this afternoon to talk about some of the information that we have and some of the feelings that we have about war and peace. We saw a presentation yesterday on the peace march and some nuclear testing information and things like that, so that gave us some information. But tonight the forum is going to consist of you asking these individuals questions instead of them just giving you kind of a canned speech about how they feel. They want to know what questions you have that they could answer. So that's the way it's going to work. But to begin, they're each going to introduce themselves and give where they live and their ages. So.
Okay, I'm Trevor, I'm 13, and I live in Edmonton, Alberta, and that's in Canada.
My name is Ben Thompson, I'm from Minneapolis, and I'm 14.
I'm Emily Sather, I'm 13, and I'm from Spencer, Iowa.
I'm Mark Shelley, I'm 16, I'm from Greenville, South Carolina.
I'm Gary Bailey, and I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm 16.
So we'd just like to open the floor now to any questions that you might have. Okay.
I'm curious if you thought about whether you're going to register for the draft or not. Especially the two older boys.
Yeah. Well, if it really comes down to it, yes.
You would.
Yeah.
Unless I was forced to, I would not.
Okay. I'd like to know your reason why you're
not. I'm kind of a peaceful kind of person. I don't like any kind of fighting.
Okay.
I think we should ask the other fellow also, why would he register for the draft rather than just the fellow why he wouldn't?
Okay.
Okay, I would register because, I mean, you're trying to save your own people from getting killed. And it's like, if I had a choice, I would rather stay and just have a talk about it first. Instead of, like, when you're fighting, no one's a winner. So I'd rather talk before killing.
Well, registering for the draft talk session.
Well, it depends, like, what you register for. Like if you go on fighting and stuff, you don't really have a choice. It's like when you're fighting, it's like if you don't shoot them, they're gonna kill you. So you're fighting to live. I guess I will.
All right.
I address this to Mark. Have you thought about whether or not you would have participated in World War II if you were living?
Probably not. If I had a choice, if it was not required by the law.
And again, the reason would be?
I just don't believe in fighting.
Sarah? Mm-hmm. This would be a question for all of them or any of them.
Okay.
Just wondering whether or not the issue of war, and particularly nuclear war, is something that comes up with their friends? Is it something they think about? Is it something that you think about? Is it something that you talk about with people at school? Or is it just something that's just not talked about?
I'm very worried about, you know, what's going to happen to our future and if we're going to, you know, grow old enough to live a full life. But it's not usually brought up in the schools. I know that people are thinking about it, but they just don't come out and say, you know, we don't really have discussions about it, but I know everybody's thinking about what's going to happen.
Well, like in history class, you know, if something's brought up, like people might just, you know, have a comment or something about someone.
Usually it's not talked about, but if it comes up in some way, it usually gets talked about a little bit.
If it's like being discussed as a theme of something in English or something to that effect, it would be, but not, it's not everyday conversation.
Okay.
It's like when you, excuse me, it's like when you talk about our future, like, you just ask them, like, are we going to grow old enough to have kids? It's just like, we look at our future, it's like blank, because we live day by day wondering if those missiles are going to go off. It's just,
Okay.
When adults talk about nuclear weapons, it's basically in two groups. One group thinks that if we don't have any of them, that we're all safe because there won't be any to blow up. And the other group thinks that if we keep some, the Russians will be too scared to shoot them at us, so we'll all be safe. When they talk about it, wherever you are, in school or, you know, in the neighborhood or on the, at recess or anything like that, which sides do each of you take, and are both of those sides discussed? In other words, what do you think's best, and what do the other guys think's best? To have them to protect yourself, or to get rid of all of them and take some risks?
Well, I think the point is, like, we have enough to blow up this road like 5 or 10 times. It's like, why should we keep on building all these nuclear arms? There's already enough to blow up everything. It's just like we're playing a game, like, who can have the most toys? It's just like a game they're playing. Like, there's no winner to this game.
Okay. I think we're spending money that could be used for, you know, many things, that like education and the farmers. And if we keep building them up, you know, we're not going to use them all. You know, if we launch one or something, then that'll be it. And so it's just, I don't think it's right to keep building them up and spending the money.
Mark? I feel we shouldn't have them all together. I believe that we should, our government should be more willing to compromise on the issues and try to work things out more peacefully than keep building them up. At least put a freeze on building.
Well, I feel that we shouldn't have them all together. Like, we saw those slides last night, and you know, if you think about just walking down the street and seeing that all over, you know, it would be a
problem. Well, I think that, I mean, if you can blow up the world over, like, more than once, I don't see what the point in making more is. Like, I think, yeah. I mean, even making one, yeah. Even making one is just silly.
Okay.
What about the third world countries, though? What if they get hold of the bomb, then what are we supposed to do? Solve
it? Like, most of these countries today, like, everyone has these bombs. If, like, one country, like, accidentally, like, launches bomb, like, Russia's gonna launch it, and, like, the United States, it's like everyone is gone. It just takes one country to deal with this.
I think that everybody's too scared to do it because they know what's going to happen. Like, if it's a big bomb, I think that nobody's going to launch it. But if it's a malfunction, then everybody's going to start reacting, and then there will be.
Okay.
Do you think that, well, first of all, I don't know if you're familiar with it, the Star Wars, SDI, do you think that that's going to be helpful at all? And, reducing the nuclear arms?
No. Because if we continue to build that, then the Soviets will just see that as kind of a threat, and they will work to develop the same kind of thing or more sophisticated weapons that will be able to get past that. And then we will keep working, and it's just going to keep building up and up and up. They'll keep going to greater scale of weapons.
Anyone else?
Do you feel that your parents and their friends are doing enough to prevent the possibility of nuclear war?
Well, I think mine are.
What are they doing for?
Well, my parents are pretty involved in you know, like, ending hunger and stuff like that, and, you know, like, boycotting Burger King.
We talked about that today in minors, so that's why that got brought up. How about the rest of you?
Well, I think my parents aren't, because like you're so involved like with your lives. They don't like have like a lot of people don't have enough time to outreach and go to different countries and to just help people out. It's just like you have a life. Go to work 5 days a week. You do something on the weekend. You go back to work. It's like always the same life. That's what they're doing. It's not taking enough time out for other people.
I think they do as much as they can. They just, not everybody can do that all the time. I mean, there's other things to be done. But
I know mine are concerned about it, and you know, they have all the, you know, they know about all of what's happening.
Well, my parents are pretty involved with their lives, and I don't know. I guess they do about as much as they can. At least I think they do. Like going to a third world country and giving up your life and helping the hungry isn't just, you know, something that someone would do at the blink of an eye.
See, I have mixed feelings about what's happening. You know, I know that if we don't build them up, they'll probably build more advanced, but then at the same time, I know that they probably won't, you know, send a bomb over here to destroy us because they're trying to compromise. You know, they have tried, and I would try to give some of the money that is spending on the missiles to places that really need it and people who are poor and hungry, that need the food and stuff.
So you keep some of the money?
Yeah.
For missiles and put some of it into Hungary?
Yeah.
What about the other
country? Well, I think I'd like disarm everything, and with $1 trillion, I think you could, you know, help out a whole lot of countries. And then everybody would be on your side, you know, because of all the good you did.
Yeah, I think you've got a real wonderful point there. You don't win friends and influence people with bombs, as far as I can
see.
I would try to very hard to work to stop Star Wars testing, to stop aid to Central America, and to work very hard to at least freeze and definitely try to get rid of all the nuclear weapons.
I'd stop testing. I'd stop making newer and better weapons, because even if the Russians did launch several or a lot of missiles at us, they're going to bite it in the end anyways, because the radiation is just going to float back and get them. So I don't see why they'd do it.
I'll just stop the arms completely. I mean, we have enough weapons to blow up everyone, so what's the point of making more?
Okay.
That you keep the ones that you've got already?
Yeah, just for protection. It's like, if we didn't have like all these bombs right now, it's like all these people just invade us. But the point is, there should be a stop right now. Stop making bombs. It's like, why have more?
Even if you did stop making them, the ones that are already there now are
enough to protect you.
No. Like, it would be good if you could get rid of them, but they're you can't really just bury a nuclear missile. And even if you could get rid of all of them, the threat's still there. Like, everyone always knows how to make them. Like, some terrorist gets, you know, makes one and then blows someone up.
Yeah?
I think that you're probably aware of this, but the United States protects a number of countries, including West Germany and many others, through their arms. And there's been things going on in the protecting tankers, oil tankers. With what you've said, would you envision then from all over the world and withdrawing our arms and our missiles and so on.
Well, FICOM, we did this, like the Russians would just take advantage. It's just like a little game. It's like, let's see if I can get this country. So we have to more or less like stop communists, like more or less. But you know, it's just a point. We should keep all the arms what we have just to be safe, but there's no point in making more.
Okay, is there enough now? Some ideas on that?
I would get rid of the missiles and try to gradually, if you get on better relations, remove the troops gradually.
I have the same idea, you know, try to talk to them and see what, you know, what we can work out, and if we can find a way to get rid of all the, you know, all the missiles and stuff, because as he said, you know, you can't just bury them because, you know, something could happen.
Someone could dig it up.
Yeah.
Well, what I've heard is that the reason Soviet Union has all those countries is because they've been invaded so many times before that they don't, you know, they don't want the war to be fought in their own country. So if we took everything out, there would be no threat. So I don't see why they need more protection.
That's not what I've been told in Europe, by the way, sure.
Well, I think that I'd try a lot harder in the peace talks. Like, I don't think either side of the government is trying very hard. I think it's just kind of so the people that like peace think that the government is doing something good, but I don't think anything's resolved or done there. And so I'd try a lot harder at the peace talks and the nuclear disarmament talks. And
I was curious as to what the youngsters are hearing about Oliver North or what kind of things are being discussed in their localities and schools in regard to Oliver North being a hero, a super patriot, or is he someone different than you?
From what I hear at school, the kids just, you know, they just downgrade him and don't think much of him. And then, you know, some adults I've heard, you know, think he's a hero and everything for what he's done. And I don't think it's right, personally, to help to aid the Contras, because you're just sending money for a war to kill people when maybe some peace talks could be settled with it.
Well, I think that giving money to the Contras, it isn't doing very much good, because I'm sure the people there get along there. I think it's just creating more difficulty for the people that are living there, and it's a lot harder for them because there's, you know, a war going on in their backyard. And I think it would be better if they just backed off and left it alone and let the Russians take care of them.
Okay.
Well, I think, you know, he loves it, you know, United States a lot, but I don't think the way he went it showing that was good.
I think like he's taking money away from us. It's like we should be complaining instead of, you know, all right. It's like he's taking our tax money away from us. It's like someone going in your house, take your money, and like just stealing stuff from you. You're supposed to turn around and say, all right, thank you. You're doing a great job.
Okay.
I haven't been at home to discuss it with my friends. I've been traveling. But, I mean, I think he lied, and he says that he was instructed to do so by his superiors, but he still went about doing it, and so he could have backed out if he wanted to.
Also, I believe that the Contras were the ones that asked for the money, and most of the people are not supportive of them, and they don't, you know, they weren't really asking for it themselves. So I think that maybe if they're trying to work it out their own way, and we should let them, you know, not involve themselves.
Okay.
Going back a little bit to what was just being discussed earlier, by the way, you're not alone. People in colleges never talk about nuclear war either. It's sad. But I'm guessing 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you will be on the college scene. And when I was in high school, I knew that was the time that I decided that I would be able to make a difference. Now you can make a difference, but come 18, you're in a situation where you have more resources and you can vote. Question is, and we talked about this a little last night, there is a large amount of apathy on college campuses right now. Do you, as you're looking ahead toward college, do you notice any more or less of a, do you think you're going to have an opportunity to make a difference on the college campuses when you get there? Or do you look at the situation now and say, they're not doing anything now, how can we ever expect to get anything active on college campuses again? Are you thinking that far?
I think that alone, one person can't really do that much, accomplish that much. But if, you know, you get together with a whole group of people, then you can tell everybody what you think, and maybe they can, you know, come with you and do something about it.
Are you going to be, and this is thinking ahead, do you think that when you're looking at college, are you going to be one who will be willing to speak out so that others will listen and join you?
Yes, I want to help the country, and I know that I can't do it alone, and so, you know, you need a group together, so I'd be willing.
And I think I can, like, more or less tell the way it is, because I've been, like, to Mexico, like, on a peace treaty and stuff like that, trying to help them out and stuff. It's like, I've been there, like, a lot of people haven't seen, like, how sad it is. It's like, when you get in America, you take your freedom for granted, but when you go to Mexico and Central America, you see, like, all these people dying, it's, like, so sad. I think I can tell people, like, the way it is.
Okay.
I would, the people I associate with in school and different places are concerned about, you know, these kind of issues. So, you know, I think if that continues, that, yeah, we would try to do something about it.
Well, everyone has the feeling, you know, well, there's only one vote, you know, that you vote, so that's not going to make a difference. So if everyone had that opinion, they didn't really care. It's going to keep going the same way, but, you know, if you take time to think about it and vote, you know, it might help.
Okay. Oh, well, I think that one person can't do that much, but, I mean, you should try to do as much as you can anyways, and I think a lot of people think that group things are good, but some of them just don't think that they have the time or think that they want to do it. But I think that a lot of my friends would, and I would get involved with that kind of thing.
Question about how you feel about the United States government's dealing with people from the war zones of the world. It's very difficult for people from Central America, from Sri Lanka, India, to get into North America as refugees. And what kind of a policy would you suggest for that?
I think we should accept people in, but there has to always be a limit. It's like, not everyone can fit in the United States. Like, there has to be a stop, but the point is, where is the stop?
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair to let so many people in that, you know, and then, like, the next person in line or whatever would say, sorry, this is the point that we stop. But, you know, I think we should help them and try to do something for them so they'll be happier where they are.
I would try to say, I mean, very much cut defense spending And we heard a point this afternoon that if you cut defense, if you kept 9% of money in defense and just took 10% out, you could feed almost everyone. I mean, that's how much it is. And if you cut defense 90%, you could use that money to help the farmers, to set up programs to help more aliens, to, you know, to help more people in more countries. That's what I would do.
With the American economy so much based on weapons and based on war, I guess my question, because you're sitting up front, the question is for everyone. If everyone is willing to, quote, bite the bullet and live much, possibly in a much different way, because of the loss of thousands, millions of jobs because of cutting off defense. For the interim, to go from war-oriented economy to peace-oriented economy will take quite some time, and it will be most likely past your college age. And I guess my question to you is, if you're willing to bite the bullet and maybe, you see, not live the kind of lives you live today for that.
I know that a lot of people support not having these defense and, you know, want to cut down, but I know that they like their lives the way they are, and that they say that, you know, they want to cut down, but they wouldn't change, you know, they wouldn't want to change. I don't think anybody would want to change, because you're so used to what you're doing, it'd be very hard.
It's like, if you don't see it, why care about it? That's how some people think. It's like, it's so far away from it. That's what I think.
Well, those jobs will only make a difference if somebody presses the button, so.
It's not money here, it's just lives.
Okay, you've often heard the phrase guns and butter, which means you can't, it was used in, I think, Vietnam first. As this meaning, you can't spend most of your resources in war. You can't really build up in foreign affairs and domestic. And I believe that if you did work on cutting the defense, that you could use that money elsewhere to provide different kinds of jobs and to develop different kinds of industry around here. It would take some time, but I believe using that money, you could do it if you used it correctly.
Well, I think that cutting the defense would be good, but you couldn't just say, okay, well, all you Marines and all you colonels, you're all fired, you know, on one day. I mean, that'd be kind of silly, because there'd be, like, a lot of people out of jobs and out of money. And I think you could, like, you could really slowly cut defense and start a different way of living, and but that would take quite a bit of time. You couldn't do it in like a day or two, or even a year.
Okay, you all said that one person couldn't do anything. What if everybody thought that they couldn't do anything, what happened to it?
Well, I think one person can do a lot of things. It's amazing what one person can do. It's just like a pastor. It's just amazing.
I think if people talk about it, you know, if they talk to other people about it and tell them what they feel, then maybe they'll talk about what they feel, and people will all start saying, you know, that they want to do something, and then get into a group and, you know.
I think what we were saying was that if one person believes something and doesn't think anybody else believes it, they're not going to do anything about it. But if they can talk about it and realize that there are other people on their side, they feel they can make a difference.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I guess there are two questions. You know, what about in your schools? Is anything going on that helps you specifically deal with these kinds of issues, whether there are organizations in the schools that where people are concerned about this stuff get together and do anything. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of an organization called STOP, which is Students, Teachers, and Organized to Prevent Nuclear War, which is a national organization for high school students. And I don't know if any of you have chapters in your schools. And the second part is a similar kind of question about your churches. I'm really curious to know, for those of you who are involved in youth programs and churches, are your churches doing anything to help you really deal with these kinds of issues, discuss war and peace issues, and discuss registration for the draft and stuff like that?
Well,
so both of those at one time, I think there's some related.
Like, I think of my churches because, like, a group of youth, like, during the summer, we took all the time out from our lives, to go down to Mexico and, like, dig ditches and just help. Like, when you're digging ditches for someone else in another country, it just feels so great inside. So I think we're doing a lot to help.
Okay, how about your school?
Not at all.
Okay.
My school, there's not any program like STOP, like you spoke of, but we do in history, say this year, my teacher did a whole unit on kind of the major problems in the world today. And so we talked a lot about it there. And in my English class, we would always spend whole days discussing what we felt about the theme of a novel, you know, how we felt about that issue. And as far as church goes, our Wednesday night programs especially, and occasionally on Sunday morning, are always about that kind of issues of dealing with problems, and sometimes personal, sometimes large scale.
We live in kind of a small town, and we don't, you know, have many organizations. I know that in bigger towns they do, because I've, you know, heard from friends that live in different towns that they do have programs. So in our school, like Mark said, they just, in like American history, we talk about it and see what we feel. In our church, I know that we collect food for the hungry and help them out, you know, have people donate what they can.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like in school and church, we talk about it, you know, but there's no organizations.
Okay. Well, in my school, in my church, there's not really anything. Like, there's a lot of money that goes to, like, hunger organizations and stuff like that. But there's not any really groups about that are concerned about nuclear war or anything. It's just, there's nothing of that in my school or my church.
Also in our church, we have, like, once a year, our youth program does a fast, and we collect money from people to donate, and then we go for a 30-hour fast.
Okay.
So we can, you know,
for
hunger
issues?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to interject and just say, if any of you are interested, I've done some work with STOP, and I have the address here. If you're ever interested in getting information on that, possibly getting some people together and starting something, either school or church, if you need either place, I'd be glad to do that.
Okay, so that's for the minors, other than just me sitting up here, to for all of you. Okay.
I got a question that I don't think any of the adults could answer, and so I don't know if you could or not, but I want to see what your view is. Sounds like all of you are for disarmament, some total, some partial. I think the majority of the people in this room are too. And yet every year, over years and years and years and years, they keep building more and more and more. If we're going to elect a new president next year, how could we get his attention so he'd do what we want him to do? You got any ideas?
Well, you know, that we talked about a march that went across the states, you know, about the nuclear disarmament. And I think that maybe if we do something like that to draw the attention of the people and of the political people, then they'll realize what people think about that. And, you know, they'll raise the issues.
I think you could choose, if you look at the candidates' records, say, which ones have been involved with the kind of peace movement over the years of any sort, and maybe if you want, if you have a group that kind of supports a candidate who has been involved with that, do almost a half peace march campaign for them. You know, kind of a double thing or something like that, in support and to draw attention.
Do you have any ideas on that? Okay, we talked this, when we were talking about things this afternoon, we decided that it might be a good idea to have a hands across Holden experience. To bring awareness to Holden itself.
I'd like to know if you think that teenagers today are greatly influenced or not very greatly influenced by their parents' politics. When I was a teenager, my parents were Democrats, and so I was a Democrat. And their views were my views. And do you think that you have the views that you have because of your parents? Or because of an individual decision that you've made on your own without parental input?
I think a lot of it is from your parents. For instance, I can tell, we live where I live, a lot of my friends have parents that teach at Furman University, which is kind of a liberal school. And you can tell a difference between them and the kind of more, it's aristocratic, that's not a good word, but just kind of more conservative people. You know, you can tell a difference in who their parents are and who the kids are. Okay. It's similar. It's not all based on that, but schools and friends have something to do with it.
How about yours? Your views?
Okay. I think it's got to do with yourself, because if you're going to do something, you're the only person that can make you do something. Like most, like if your parents tell you to do something, you're not more or less going to do it, because it's like what you want. It's like something what you want, not no one else. Like you have to have it. That's my thing.
I think. Okay, my parents are kind of independent, you know, they're not for one side or the other, and I know that they have an influence on me, and if they're Democrat or Republican, I'd probably be that too, but, you know, I'd have my own thoughts and feelings, but I'd say that, you know, I was whatever they are, but now, you know, I kind of agree with both sides, you know, I'm not for one side or the other.
Well, I think your parents, you know, really influence you, especially when you're younger, you know, you hear their opinion, and another kid, you know, like puts down that opinion, and you know, your parents are like your idols, so, you know, and, but also it's like your friends and things that affect you, and you know, where you're from.
Okay. Well, I think that when you're a lot younger, you don't really question your parents' opinion, because, you know, your parents can't be wrong. But I mean, as you get older, I mean, if you don't like what your parents are saying, you make your own decision and you change for your own opinion.
I think at the beginning it's like your parents, because like they show love and stuff like that. Like you can give love back out. Like if you like hate yourself, you can't love anyone else. So more or less your parents have to give that love feeling before you can show that love.
One of my concerns, both for the youth and for adults, is this popularity business. It gets to be a peer pressure thing, and I dare say part of that was the LA North thing, too, where some get abandoned and gets to be a big pushover act, doesn't it, sometimes? And it can happen so easily, I would think, with the young people, where they haven't had a chance really to maybe think it through, but it's the thing, and so now we're all for Holly North, or instead of having thought through the thing at all.
Yeah, I think that's important to recognize.
That really frightens.
Yeah, one more question. question kind of related to, are there differences today than like when I was growing up? There was a candidate for president that came through our town a while back, and he visited the junior and senior high school, and they asked the young people to raise their hands if they thought they would not be able to live out their full life due to a nuclear holocaust. And a good 3/4 of the entire student body did raise their hands. And I think that is a difference between when I was growing up and now, because when I was a youngster, I didn't have to face that issue so bluntly. But now it's something. And I think that that is influencing young people and allowing them to question creatively some things that I wouldn't have questioned.
Do you have any particular people that you think of when you think of peace? And if you do, who are they and why?
I think of Martin Luther King because he was, you know, he said that there was two choices that you could make, you know, not violence or nonviolence. And now it's changed into either nonviolence or self-destruction, because if you're going to be violent, then, you know, you're going to destruct everything. And so I think of him as...
I would think of him or for basically the same reasons, or maybe, say, Gandhi, trying to keep a peaceful, lead a peaceful revolution, or just anybody who works diplomatically, not forcefully, to resolve problems.
I think like people are like depending on like the government or like someone else all the time. It's like, instead of going to the government and stuff, why don't we just pray to God for once? It's like, instead of like depending on people, just pray for once. Might do some good. Instead of like pushing away God all the time, that's what we're doing. That's why we're like this. It's like, why don't we just go to God for once?
Okay. Do any of you have any other ones about peace? Because maybe we could just share the ideas that we talked about today, our ideas about the Reagan administration and the Russian officials when it comes to peace, because that seemed to be a big thing today.
Well, I guess something that I found out about that, and that when we watched the march, is that that I think the Russians are a lot more for nuclear disarmament than the American government, because they proposed a 6-month they said they'd stop their nuclear testing for 6 months, so they'd stop. So they were saying that they'd stop making newer and better weapons. And the Americans said, okay, well, fine, you know, we're not gonna stop ours. And then at the end of the 6 months, they said, okay, we'll extend it for another 6 months. And they still didn't do anything. And then they extended it for another 6 months. And I think that the Russian government's a lot more for nuclear disarmament than the American government.
Well, yeah, like, a reason for that is, I read somewhere that Gorbachev said, without our army, we would be a third world country. So, it's understandable if they want to get rid of weapons so they can get their country back together.
Okay. Emily?
I agree with what Trevor said. You know, I think that maybe if we just try to understand, and because, you know, the United States thought at that time that Russia stopped to catch up on something. Yeah, to try to get ahead of them. So, you know, they'll be afraid of us.
Okay, two things. The Soviet Union really wants to compromise because Ben said it's a poor country and their army is as powerful as ours, but they've poured all their resources into that, and so they have no industry. That's what they're trying to change. And then you have, at the summit in Iceland, Reagan said that he didn't accept the treaty because they wouldn't let him continue Star Wars testing, and his reason was he basically couldn't trust them. But I think trust, you have to start somewhere, and everything takes trust and compromise, and you can have to, I mean, I really believe they're willing to do it, and I think you should trust them.
That's the same here. I think, like, instead of calling everyone a liar, why don't we just stop and trust someone for once? It's like we have to start somewhere instead of, you know, calling each other a liar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, I do, because I think a lot of, you know, when people get elected, it's because they believe what they hear. And so now, you know, all the high officials are lying. You know, I don't think that's really good, because they look up to those people, and the people above you lie, it must be okay to lie for you.
I think it's scary, because the person that we, you know, the country elected as president, appointed all these people, and so we essentially chose them indirectly to lead us, and, you know, they go off and do things that we don't even know about, and that's just, it's wrong.
I think the public should know what's going on. It's like, should know what's going on here. Instead of everything such a secret, mm-hmm. just set it open.
Okay.
This, what were you saying? They say it's, you know, good to keep it secret, so just for, you know, their covert reasons and everything. But you know, I really think that if you have to keep it secret from your own people, you know, and we don't know what was going on. They did not ask our approval of that.
Well, I think that a lot of the candidates for a lot of positions, like, are lying with a lot of their campaign promises, and they, I'm sure they know that they're not gonna fulfill them, and it's gonna get to the point where they're gonna lie so much that the person that's gonna be elected is the best liar.
Do you think the Russians ought to trust our government in disarmament negotiations?
If I were them, you know, I don't think I would, because, you know, the people here some people here don't trust the government. And if we know the government, if we elected them, then, you know, why should another country? But it looks like they're trying to, and they're trying to trust us, and, you know, see what's going to happen.
I would not. I mean, there's been reports. Some people say we've invaded Central America more times than Russia's invaded any country. And, I mean, they are willing to compromise, and I'm glad for that, and I think we should take advantage of it while we can.
I guess my question stems from the honesty thing. In Canada, I don't know what you guys think about Reagan in the United States, but most of us in Canada really would have trusted him very far. We also don't trust our own prime minister, or many of the leaders. What makes you think that the Russian leaders are any more trustworthy than the leaders in Canada and the United States?
Okay, I think it's not the government itself, it's just the whole system. It's like the House of Representatives and everyone together. It's just not like one person. You can't really look at one person and be like, it's your fault. You have to look at everyone else, like he has to turn to. It's not just one person, like the whole system you have to talk about. It's like the whole system's like so messed up.
So is the whole system in all of the countries up at that level kind of rotten?
No, it's just not rotten or anything like that. It's just some ways of doing things, what they do is so unnecessary.
From what I hear, not everybody trusts their leaders, because some things they like that they do, and some things they really disagree with and believe that they should never have done it, and don't, you know, they kind of lose their trust. But then, you know, sometimes leaders can do something that they like and build it up again.
I would say that, I mean, you can't definitely say we're going to trust this person and absolutely believe it. I mean, there's always going to be some element you're not going to know. But, I mean, I think, you know, Gorbachev has proposed several things that are real new, He's trying a lot of industrial reforms to get Russia more industrial, back on an industrial kind of direction. And I mean, I really believe that he's different.
I think that the Soviet Union have, they trust, they have more reason to trust government because they have more to win or more to get because they're like not real wealthy. So, you know, if they decided to stop nuclear arms, you know, they could get more money, they'd have money for their country.
I really don't think they would risk, making an agreement and then trying to sneak around it and break the deal simply because the object of their compromising is to gain that money to use in industry. That's what they want.
Oh, I think that it's a lot different to trust. Like, it's a lot different for us to trust the American government because most of us live here. And, I mean, the Russians can trust us, but so what? I mean, they have a lot more reasons to trust them because they're not living here and they're not facing some of the things that the American government's doing wrong.
Yeah, they know most of the major points that, you know, happen because it's all publicized. But some of the minor things that really still are important, they don't know about.
The Russian people aren't. They believe what they're told because it's so limited. The government controls everything that's said. So, I mean, they're told something, they believe it. That's all they only have one source of information. So they're going to trust their own government.
Can you think of anything that the government is doing? I've heard a lot of negative things that are positive to the government.
I think a good part of what he's trying to do is like bring religion back with like praying in school and stuff like that. It's like we're just pushing away religion and just like living on everything else, like money, clothes, and everything else. It's just like new religion back instead of pushing away, just getting back in. Instead of like pushing that God away, why don't we just bring it back in? It's like we just like need another source instead of looking upon ourselves. Upon a higher source. Help.
I would say, I disagree with his foreign policy in general, administration. And I believe that, you know, they are trying to create new jobs and everything, and that's good, but they are not doing anything about the deficit. And they are cutting social programs, so I mean, that's the only good thing I see is trying to just really working a new job.
I know they're trying to expand what we have in the United States, so we can help out other countries to trade, like food and stuff, and we can send what they don't have and they can send us what we don't have. So they're trying to build up and make us more powerful.
Well, our country is doing pretty well, you know, and being president is a pretty hard job because you have to try to please everyone. So, you know, everybody's not going to be pleased with, like, supporting the Contras and stuff.
We have military academies. It seems to me that we train people how to fight wars and how to carry them out and so forth. But we don't train for peace. What do you think of a peace academy? It's been brought up several times, but never seems to get off the ground.
What would be involved? I mean,
pardon?
What would be involved? I mean, you're talking
to teach ways,
to teach like peaceful methods,
different ways.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah,
I think it's, you know, I mean, anytime you solve something diplomatically, you're gonna have to give in a little bit, but you're gonna have to, you know, you'll work it out and move. But we knew lives would be lost, and I think it would be much better than military academy.
I think any way that people try to work for peace is good, because, you know, peace is better than war and stuff doesn't fit, that would be good.
Well, like, Greenpeace is I kind of think is one. Like, they want some. Went onto a Soviet boat and started selling Greenpeace t-shirts.
Right.
And, you know, if you join that, it kind of might kind of be,
I think, you know, instead of looking at ways to blow up everyone, like, so concerned about the weapons, why don't we just stop and just think about the other ways we can just stop all this.
Ben brought up one, not the Peace Academy itself, but a little part of peace that's already there. Do you see any others? I mean, do you see any other organizations that foster things that a Peace Academy would teach, or that would go along with your ideas of nonviolence or disarmament, other than what Ben mentioned?
The Red Cross.
Red Cross.
Well, people funnel their energy away from weapons, you know, they could just in anything, you know, like, you know, teaching or like ending hunger or, you know, something.
In the organizations like STOP, what Barry was talking about, you know, any kind of group like that, or any type of peace march organized, or in like Hands Across America, USA for Africa, anything like that, is kind of organization.
Okay.
I think teaching a lot of, like, saying in schools that you know, war kind of sucks, and, you know, I mean, and kind of publicizing it a lot, and so everywhere you go, you know, it's kind of stuck into your head. And I think that stuff like USA for Africa and Greenpeace is really good.
I think we would like to all see nuclear disarmament. I'd like to know what these young people see as the primary purpose of the federal government, and does it include any kind of protection for its citizens?
I think there's no protection against, like, war. It's just like, it's going to happen. I just can't go find a way. It's just, you're going to be dead. So I think it's just no protection. Because, like, we don't really have a choice what going on in the White House. It's just, like, these group of people, like, ruining, like, controlling our lives, deciding if everyone's going to die or not. Instead of us thinking about our own lives, they're just a group of people for all of us.
I know that the government's trying to protect us with, you know, all these testings of the defense system. And if, you know, if they're trying to just protect us. I mean, they're not thinking of themselves. They're thinking of the country. And, you know, that can be good and bad with all the ways they're building up.
I think you need, I mean, anytime there, you know, it looked like war was coming, you know, I would try everything diplomatic to work it out. But, I mean, for instance, Switzerland would be a good, I think it's a good idea, whatever. It's a purely defensive country. It's neutral. It tries not to get involved in other people's affairs. But yet it has a very strong inner defense. It keeps to itself. It doesn't meddle all over. But it is protected. And, like, they have bomb shelters for every citizen. They have food there for, like, a year, for everyone. And that kind of thing is better, I believe, than a more aggressive thing.
Yeah, I think if, like, the governments care about us enough, we wouldn't be in a state what we are right now. That's what I think.
Well, I think that, I mean, if you are going to have peace and you are going to get rid of all your weapons, you're going to have to just sit there and trust that they're not going to invade you and try to take you over. I mean, if you're constantly thinking about that, you know, it's not going to be a very nice peace. So you'd be like, am I going to get invaded? And so I think bomb shelters and stuff like that are good, but you're not using very much trust in having a bomb shelter if once you're disarmed.
We've heard some things in the last few days about patriotism and everybody kind of rallying around their own country. Yet, we've also heard some things about globalism and being aware of the fact that the globe might be something that we can rally around. And I'd be interested in asking the students what their experience is with the foreign exchange program and getting to know youngsters from other countries. And if that's a positive experience for you, I know that some European countries, the government actually finances foreign exchange projects. Is this a positive experience from your point of view? Does it help to build friendship and understanding? And would it be a good thing for us to do a lot more of that, even perhaps with government support?
I think it's very positive. I knew when I was a freshman in high school, I'll be a junior this year, I knew a fellow from Mexico. He was a senior. And you know, I learned a lot about his country, and you know, he had a good time with us learning, you know, kind of getting used to our tradition. And then this past year, I was very close friends with a girl originally born in China who lived in Germany, who was on foreign exchange over here. And that was very interesting. You got to see two more different cultures. And it was a very good experience. She's a very talented, smart girl. It was very good.
I think that they're trying to work out, you know, something between us that's not so major, but in a minor way, they're, you know, trying to build friendships. We had a girl from Germany living with us for a while, and then my brother went over there and lived with her family. And it was a good experience for both of them.
Well, I went to a pretty small school the last couple of years, so you know, there's more foreign exchange.
Okay. I think it's great, like going out and seeing it, just because like when you're in the United States, you hear about all this stuff going on, but just kind of like, blow it off because it ain't really there. But like when you go down there, you see like all these people so poor, like in Mexico, you see all these people so less unfortunate than you are. Like you see people getting killed. Like this little kid's fighting, like 10 years old, like just playing a game. It's just like you're seeing all this and like really gets to you, you're like real thankful. But like when you stay in the United States, it's like don't have to worry about it because you haven't seen it. But like when you see it, it's just like so upsetting. It's just like you want to do something so bad. Like you come home and tell them all about it, just kind of blow it off. But the point is like it's so great just going down there and helping them. Like you're risking your life to help someone else. It's great.
Well, a lot of people in my school this year went to Russia and came back. That wasn't an exchange, but I think that's really good. And there was a Quebec exchange, but that's not a different country. That's just a different province. So that, but country exchanges.
Okay, it's 10 o'clock now, so I think we'll end the questions here, but if you have any questions that you'd like to ask, not only these miners here, but we have a lot of other miners, and you can recognize them, I'm sure, and feel free to strike up conversations with them, and your miners, feel free to challenge the parents too, because when we were talking today in preparation for this, we were wondering if we'd be able to ask parents what they felt too, and adults what they felt. So
we need a forum.
Yeah. So minors feel like we could do that.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you guys, what do you think about America like sending like our big companies into Mexico, like helping them out, like taking the jobs away from us, like we're sending like all these big giant corporations over in Mexico, like across the border. People and stuff. What do you guys think about like losing jobs?